yourself, sis. I don't think you can catch him on a bad day. Turn me up, Brother James. I've been in this thing long enough to say that's not just a song. That's real, friend. You get in them deep, dark valleys and you start looking around, it's hard to find anything good. But if you'll feel your way through the darkness and find your way to the foot of bloody Calvary, you'll find something good. The Lord's good all the time. Amen. Ain't rushing nobody in the altar. You take your time. I know some of you visiting probably think, boy, this is different. It ain't different than what it used to be. It may be different than what it is today, but man, we just simple enough to get out of the way and let God do what he wants to do. Amen. Let's take your Bible and turn to Ruth chapter number 1. Joshua judges Ruth. Ruth chapter number 1. I met with about 50 men this week. About maybe half of them pastors or youth pastors, some type of leader in the church. And the first thing the host pastor said when we got to the 4-H camp where we were was there needs to be no false pretense here. Be real. You don't have to pretend like everything's wonderful at home if it ain't. We've come apart away from our families and away from our ministries and churches and jobs, and we've come as men together to pray together and to hear the preached word of God and to get some help from the Lord. And those men were wise enough to just do that, just to do that very thing and just let go of everything and quit pretending everything was all right when it ain't all right. Amen. Amen. You don't get any help till you realize something's wrong. Let me say that again. You don't go to the doctor till there's a symptom. I don't wake up. If I wake up in the morning and just feel great, I'm not going to say, I think I'll just run down to the emergency room. Matter of fact, I don't go to the emergency room till I'm about half or three quarters dead. Amen? If there's a doctor in here, God bless you, but you're not my best friend. You might be if I'm dying, but right now, no. Somebody said, why don't you go get a checkup? I did in the mirror this morning. That's about all the checking up I want. Amen. They go places they ain't got no business. Amen. But you don't go to the doctor unless there's a reason to go. And then you go and you get help for what's hurting. And that's the way we ought to be spiritually. Amen. Man, when something's wrong, we ought to just be real about it and quit faking it and come tell the Lord about it. Amen. Amen. Crawl up in this altar and see the doctor. He won't stick no needle in you. He may massage your heart a little bit. Amen. Ruth chapter number 1. If you know the story, there has been a famine in the land of Bethlehem, and a man by the name of Elimelech decides to take his family down in the country of Moab. The land of Bethlehem is known as the house of bread. The place he's carrying his family, God said Moab is my washpot. In other words, that's the dirty water. In other words, God said Moab is not the place to be. Bethlehem, the house of bread, the place where God is, that's the place to be. But there's some hard times in the land. How many of you know that even as a child of God, there's hard times in the land? Even though you know Christ and you know every word to amazing grace and I'll fly away and it is well with my soul, sometimes trouble and hard times come. Well, Elimelech does the best that he thinks he can for his family and he takes them down. He's got two boys, Mahlon and Chilion, and his wife, Naomi, and he leads them down into the land of Moab. They get down into Moab where there's food, but there's more than food in Moab. And we'll get to that in a minute. But they get down to Moab, and in Moab, Elimelech dies. the husband, the leader of the home. Shortly after that, or before that, the boys choose wives, Orpha and Ruth. Shortly after that, the two boys die. And Naomi is left with her two daughters-in-law, and she makes up her mind, I hear there's food back in the land of Bethlehem. I'm going back to where I ought to be to begin with. As Christians, we find ourselves, or at least I'm honest enough to say it, I find myself running back and forth, Moab to Bethlehem, Moab to Bethlehem, Moab to Bethlehem. Can I get a witness? Somebody said, I got saved and never looked back. Yeah, and you lying out both sides of your mouth and out both of your ears. Amen. We've all looked back to the world that God brought us out of. And we've all went back there and tried to get satisfaction out of it and found out satisfaction wasn't there and went back to the land of Bethlehem. So she goes back, and one of the daughter-in-laws, Orpha, she decides to stay in the land of Moab where she's from. She's a Moabitess. And Ruth said, I'm going with you. Where you dwell, I'll dwell. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Oh, what a love story in the book of Ruth. What some pictures of the type of the body of Christ, you and I, and the type of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I want to focus on one word in the book of Ruth this morning. In Ruth chapter number 1, in verse number 21, Naomi, let me just back up. Let's get verse number 19. Talking about Naomi and Ruth, the Bible said, are y'all there? Yeah. You don't look like it. The Bible said, so they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? Is this the same person that went away long ago? Is that who I think it is? Oftentimes as a pastor, I sit on this platform, and as I'm aging, the next month, I'll be 49 years old, bumping 50. I'm on your tailgate, Brother Terry. I'm headed toward 50 years old, and I squint my eyes, and I look on the back row, and is that so-and-so? And I lean over and ask Brother Freddie or Brother William, one of the guys, is that so-and-so? Yeah, I believe it is. And that's what they were doing. Is that Naomi? Is that that? That looks like Naomi. Has she come home? Then verse number 20, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. She said in verse 21, this is where we'll take our text. She said, I went out, say the word with me.
Full.
I went out how?
Full.
Full. And the Lord hath brought me home again.
Empty.
Brought me home again.
Empty.
Brought me home again.
Empty.
Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me? And the Almighty hath afflicted me. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord God, we're tired in body, and Lord, probably pretty weak in our mind this morning. But God, you're still God. And Lord, we're leaning on you and trusting you for your help, God, for this hour. God, give us what these people need to hear this morning. Lord, don't let them hear from Delta. Don't let them hear from Canada or upstate New York. Let them hear directly from heaven this morning. And God, you get honor and glory. Help somebody today, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to preach to you a message this morning just for a few minutes. Running on empty. Running on empty. I had a pastor sit at a picnic table across from me Friday afternoon. And he after the service, he said, can I talk to you a minute? And I said, yes, sure. And usually when people ask you that, it's not a good thing. It's they're struggling or having a hard time. And I said, brother, what's the problem? He said, I don't know how to put it into words. This guy has more Bible knowledge than you can shake a stick at. He knows more Bible, or he's forgot more Bible than most of us will ever know. I mean, to the natural eye, to look at him, to hear him preach, and to watch him walk through life, you would look at that guy and think, man, up under his shirt, he's got on another shirt and a cape with a big S on it. You would think, man, he's a super Christian. I said, "Brother, what can I help you with?" And he said, I just don't know how to put it. And tears began to roll down his face. He said, "Brother, I'm just empty." You ever found yourself there? Just absolutely bone dry, empty. I believe we're living in a day with a lot of spiritually empty Christians. Oh, a lot of you are full, but you ain't full of God. Amen. Amen. What happens when we get empty spiritually, we start trying to fill that hole with something else, and it just doesn't work. It's like putting gas in a diesel truck. It may crank, but it ain't going nowhere. At least not far. Is that right, Brother Terry? It just don't work. Naomi came home empty. I don't know, but I may be preaching to Naomi this morning. Maybe you could just, don't really scratch it out, but just in your mind block out her name and put your name there. I went out full. I remember when there was joy unspeakable and full of glory. I remember when there was happiness bubbling down in my soul, even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of trial. No matter what, there was something down inside that just made me happy. I went out full, but this morning, preacher, just to be honest with you, I've come in and I just feel empty. Don't be hard on Naomi. We've all been there. I've heard them preach about Elimelech and being a bad father and a bad husband and a bad leader for leading his family in the wrong direction. You men don't have to raise your hand if you want to, but I'll raise both of mine and testify that there have been times in my life that my family needed help and I grasped at straws and made the wrong decision and led my family in a wrong way that had an effect on all of them. You know what Elimelech was doing? Men, he was doing just like you and I. My family's hungry. I've got to do something. I hear there's food down in Moab. I know Moab ain't where we're supposed to be, but I got to take care of my family. And he made a decision. Was it the right decision? No. It's never right to leave where God is and go where God ain't. Let me say it again. It's never right to leave where God is and go where God is not. Amen. He made a decision just like you and I have over and over again. And you know what it did? It cost him. It cost him two sons. It cost him his own life. It's better to be in the land of Bethlehem where the presence of God is without than it is to be where there's plenty, where there's money, where there's fame, where there's notoriety, where there's new houses, where there's new cars. Hey, you can have all that. Give me God. Amen. Don't be hard on old Elimelech. Put in the same situation. Most of us super Christians with the big red S would do the same thing. I've seen people make the same choices. Preacher, I don't want to take a job working on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, but we got to do something. I don't want to take my family out of church, but we got to do something. I would rather have my child wearing hand-me-downs than hiding behind a dumpster sucking on a crack pipe. I would rather have my child where the Spirit of God is. Hey, as long as we're where God is, there is hope. Naomi left without hope. The circumstances of her life, I mean, boy, it was horrible, it was tough, it was hard, but thank God she came home and found God was right where she left him. Sometimes we're like that. I got that Toyota truck out there, and it's got that little telltale light on the dashboard. It says low fuel. Do y'all ever gamble with that thing? I'm in a hurry. I ain't got time. I know how far. Here's your empty side. Here's your full side. I know how far beyond that empty mark that thing will go. Somebody said, "Preacher, your fuel light's on." I said, "Man, we got another 150 miles." Can I get a witness? Somebody will help me preach this morning. That's where many of us are spiritually. I know my needle's approaching empty, but I believe I can go another day. I believe I can go another night. I believe I can go another week without getting what I need from God. Listen, that needle will only stay on empty so long, and you're going to come to a dead screeching halt, and not you can't go get help. Help's going to have to come get you. Amen. Thank God for people who will come back to the gas station and say, God, I'm empty. Have you ever coasted in? I did that a few weeks ago. Man, I thought, man, and you know what? You can't ever tell when that thing's going to do. It's from Japan. There ain't no telling what it is. It don't speak English. I said, you got another 150 miles. Ding, dong, dong, dong. Yeah. I'm coming down 61. Thank God for the hills coming from Dallas. Amen. I'm scooting along about 55. That little Toyota says, man, what's wrong with my truck? And something inside my heart said, it's out of gas, you idiot. I coasted into Patriot's gas station. And it pulled up to the tank and went, duh, 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 duh. That's the grace of God. Amen. I don't know how many times I've coasted in here, spiritually. Just barely made it in. Didn't feel like I had strength to even crawl to the altar. Woo! But God, give me a good heel to slide down and slide right back where I needed to be and get filled up again. Our problem as Christians, we just want something that'll get us through tomorrow. The church gives me a gas card. When I put gas in my truck, I've got a gas card. It doesn't matter how much money I've got in my pocket. I'm filling her up. So I don't have to do it again for a while. A lady pulled into a service station and said, I need to get $3 worth of gas. And the attendant said, you want to sniff the nozzle? We want enough to get us through tomorrow and back again. Maybe you want $5 worth of 10. Maybe just to get you to Wednesday to prayer meet. Why don't you get enough this morning to carry you on through the rest of the week? Hey, and don't settle for 87. Why don't you get some at 93 with a little bit of octane in it? Something that'll carry you down the road with some vigor. Amen. I like it. What gas station was it used to advertise? Said they had a tiger in their tank. That's the kind of gas I want. Is that Chevron with Exxon? But here's where most of us settle. Give me a little bit of the cheap stuff. Don't want no big change and effect in my life. Just give me a little bit of the cheap stuff. And if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll wind up putting something in the tank that we aren't built to run on. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Your new man isn't supposed to run on what your old man did. But if we're not careful, we'll fill the void in our life just like old Elimelech did. And he got down there in the land of Moab, which is a type of the world where we want to run back time and time again. And we'll put $5 of sin in there. That'll get me through tonight. Got quiet on me again. When you can't say amen, I know in your heart you're saying, oh me. Put a little bit of sin in there. And that just makes it run worse. So we put a little more and we put a little more. And situations get worse and worse and worse. And then we get so full of ourselves and we start to look at everybody else and we start filling ourselves full of self. Amen. Well, I'm okay. It's all right. We're going to make it. And then we think stuff will get us on down the road. Ladies, you cannot comprehend what I'm about. Well, you might. Have you ever got to the place where you're just flat broke and, man, you're just having a hard time and something told you in your head, If you could just get that new truck, it'd be all right. Somebody talk to me this morning. I'm preaching to a bunch of idiots just like myself. Oh, if I could just smell that. Oh, yeah, we're doing good now. Till that payment book comes in the mail. Oh, if I just had that boat. If I could just join that hunting club. If I could just get that camper, it'd make me feel better for a little while. Stuff won't make you feel better, but for a minute. And what we're doing, we're filling ourselves with stuff we ain't meant to run on. You may have come in empty this morning, but I've got good news for you. You found yourself in the land of Bethlehem this morning. This is not Moab. You found yourself where the presence of the Lord is, and there's no excuse to go out of here with even half a tank. You can go out full this morning. I got that gas card. That means somebody else is paying. You know what I'll do? I'll click that thing. I'll fill it up till it goes clink. Then I'll clink, 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 clink. I want it coming up at gooseneck. Get every bit I can. You got a gas card this morning. You'll never get a bill. Somebody's got it all taken care of. And he's here to tell you this morning, if you'll just pull up to the pump, I'll fill you up to the brim. Like David said, my cup runneth over. Yeah. Don't settle for a quarter. Don't settle for a half. I want you to look. I want you to look at chapter 3. I can't barely see. I run off and left my glasses, but I want you to look at verse 17. Ruth, the daughter-in-law of Naomi, finds herself gleaning in the field of a man named Boaz. He's a near kinsman. He's even called a redeemer. He's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she finds herself gleaning. You know what gleaning is? That means picking up what the leftovers are. What's his name? Boaz. Oh, Boaz even tells his servants, hey, drop some down there on purpose. Drop some down there for our own purpose. We're going to take care of this little damsel. She came in empty, but she ain't going home that way. Look at verse 17. She comes home and she's got the barley that she's harvested or she's reaped or gleaned. That's the word I'm looking for. She's picked up after everybody else. And she comes home and her mother-in-law says, wow, man, where'd you get all this? Watch what she said. And he said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, go not, help me, empty unto thy mother-in-law. Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. I want to charge you and encourage you this morning to go not empty to wherever you're going. If you go into Hardy's after church, go full. If you go into Ma and Law's after church, go full. If you go into Granny's after church, go full. And if you go out empty, it's your own fault. Because there ain't nothing you need God hadn't got. Amen. Instead of filling ourselves up with stuff that we're not meant to run on. You can't run so long on empty. It's going to stop. There's going to be a part when it just says, I can't go anymore. That's what that little preacher sat across from me and said. He said, I just don't know if I can go anymore. That's Friday afternoon. Friday night, our service lasted till midnight. Last night, the service lasted till 12:30. Started at 7. I'd kill an average Baptist. It'd make a Methodist commit suicide. That preacher that I sat across from and watched him weep and watched him cry, he stood up in the middle of that service and began to testify about the grace of God and how he came in struggling and ready to throw in the towel and ready to quit. He said, but I found out God had everything I need out here in the middle of nowhere, out here in the middle of the woods, or without a professional counselor, or without a pill from a bottle, without a drink from a bottle. I got everything I need. I'm so on fire for God. I can't wait to get home to my wife and to my church. He made up his mind, I come in empty, but I'm not going to leave that way. We ought to leave. Let me give you some things that we cannot run without this morning. Supplication and prayer. You know, I'm not being critical or harsh, but it's been a long time since I've seen some of you on an altar. It's been a long time since I've seen you get up out of your seat and make an effort to go after God. He's not going to force himself on you. The Bible says, draw nigh to God. That's your part. And by the way, that's the first part. He said, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. In other words, if you'll start moving toward God, God will start moving towards you, and he'll meet you right here in the altar. I thought about Abraham and Isaac. Worst day of Abraham's life. He's carried his son up the mountain to sacrifice him unto God. Little did he know, God had the answer coming up the other side. Abraham and Isaac take a step. That ram take a step. I mean, boy, just one after the other. And when it got to the place where Abraham needed that answer the most, God said, Abraham. Abraham. Bah. Don't you know that was the sweetest goat sound he ever heard in your life? Somebody needs to climb the mountain tonight, this afternoon, and get on this altar and listen for the bleating of the lamb. He's got exactly what you need. But he said, ye have not because ye ask not. Preacher, we're having trouble with our children. Have you prayed about it?
Yeah, come on, preacher.
We're having trouble in our marriage. Have you prayed about it?
Yeah.
We're having trouble with our finances. Can you take up a love offering? Have you prayed about it?
Amen.
I honestly believe we're living in a day when God's people don't pray.
You're right, preacher.
When I was growing up, they had prayer meeting.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had those old-timey men, they'd have Woods prayer meeting. They'd meet in the middle of the woods somewhere in the middle of the night, man. They'd have a man of God stand up and preach for a little bit, and them old men would get down in the leaves and crawl on the ground and cry out to God and beg for revival and beg for people to be saved and beg for God to move. Hey, people just don't pray anymore. I can remember my little old grandmother. Somebody pronounce a problem or something going on. She'd just drop her little old head, wipe her hands on her apron and said, oh, Lord Jesus. God, give us mamas like that again.
Yes, sir.
Give us mothers like that again. When the kids come home with a problem, honey, let's just pray about it.
Amen.
We think the answer's in Moab.
Yeah, you're right.
If I can get a better job, if I can get a raise, if this could happen and this could happen. And we got this all played out in our mind just like Elimelech did. We'll go down there and sojourn. We're going to go down there. It's just going to be a break. We're just going to do this till things get better. We're going to use this as a patch.
Come on, preacher.
We're not forsaking God. We're just leaving for a little bit. We'll be back.
Come on.
That was his intention.
Come on.
And as sure as trouble comes, the devil says, hey, here you go. This will work for a little while. But his little while is a long while.
Amen.
When you go to Moab, chances are you don't come back.
You're right, preacher.
Most don't. Did he ever have to leave? Did he have to lead his family away? No, he chose to. The devil said, door number one, food. It's up to you, Elimelech. Food, famine. Food, famine. Your boys are hungry. Your wife's wondering where the next meal's coming from. Food, famine. But he never paints the real picture. What he should have said is, Elimelech, food, wickedness, sin, the world, death,
amen,
or famine, and God, and a promise for hope for tomorrow.
Amen.
What's it going to be? It's a no-brainer now, isn't it? I'm staying over here with God. If it's going to cost me both, he would have never left. He would have never left if he knew he was going to die in Moab. He'd have never left if he knew both his sons, who I assure you he loved. It was his love that caused him to make the wrong decision. He loved his boys. But we never see the big picture Because the devil doesn't show you that. He camos that part. He just lets you see the good. Why don't we try praying? Why don't we try praying? Why don't we trust in the Spirit of God? The Bible said, be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. How long has it been since you felt Spirit-filled? Naomi said, I went out full. Now, wait a minute. Is that an oxymoron? There's a famine in the land. There's a want of food, but yet she said when she left, she was full. Full of what? There's no food? Full of what? Maybe she's saying, when I left, there was peace in my heart. When I left, there was a song on my lip. When I left, there was a spring in my step. When I left, there was hope in my heart. But I came back with no song, with no heart, with no spring in my step, and no hope. Maybe we ought to pray, God, I need the Spirit of God to move in me. I can't see the answer. I don't know when it's going to change. I don't know when things are going to turn around. I don't know when the relationship's going to come together. I don't know when the kids are going to get right with God. But Lord, I need to feel the Spirit and the power of God move inside me again. God, I need to know I can still trust in You. Yeah. Have you ever stood in a funeral home or a hospital and something in your heart just told you, it's okay. It's okay. One of my best friends stood by his mama's bedside while she was dying 2 weeks ago and said, Mama, it's okay. Well, that's that blessed hope, friend. And you take the Spirit of God out of the equation, there goes your hope. Because He is our comforter. He's the one who puts His arm around you and says it's going to be okay, just like a mother does with her children when a problem comes and you crawl up in mama's lap or daddy's lap and they put their arms around you and there's no question, no doubt about the love and the compassion they have for you. And just those words assure you it's going to be all right. The boo-boo's still bleeding, but I know it's going to be okay. The black eye's still there, but I know it's going to be okay. Why? Because somebody who loves me and somebody who cares for me told me it's going to be all right. Jesus said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I'm telling you, you're in Bethlehem this morning. You're in the house of bread. You're where you can get exactly what you need. I don't care how empty you came in. Have you ever had a situation that just looked absolutely hopeless? Brother Anthony Bennett sitting on the back row. His son had his funeral planned. Asked us to preach it. And we agreed. Little did we know. Something deep down in here said, you ain't preaching that funeral no time soon. It just looks hopeless. But we serve a God who can take any hopeless situation. He can take a crackhead, a meth head, and put him in the choir. You say, how do you know? We had him up there this morning. He can take a drug dealer who used to put people in the ditch and use him to pull them out of the ditch. He can take a man who was nothing more than a womanizer and make him a faithful husband. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. He can take a woman who was nothing more than a nagging wife and turn her into the best help her husband ever had. If we'll just come to the right place. I want to be a better wife. I'm going to watch Oprah. Barking up the wrong tree. My children are in trouble. We need to go on a Dr. Phil show. You might as well go on that other one. You get just the one where they cuss and fight and hit one another. What's that one? Jerry Springer, yeah. They all in the same class with me, Jack. Because without God, it's a Band-Aid. Amen. Maybe we ought to try some supplication and prayer. God, I need help. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. In the book of Psalms, I think it's chapter number 12 where he said, help, Lord. Is that, yeah, chapter number 12. David, kill the giant. David, a man after God's own heart. David, who wrote all the songs in the book of Psalms. Help. If David needed help, dear God, I know I need help. If David needed help, I know you need help. And people think, hey, we've got a Catholic mentality. Go tell the priest. He'll bless me. Sprinkle some of that toilet water on me. Give me a cookie and everything's going to be all. This ain't the nursery. I'm not making fun or belittling, but that's about the amount of it right there. I'm going to go feel better about myself, and I'm going to get in a double-sided closet, and I'm going to look through a knot hole at a knot head wearing a dress and ask him if he can absolve me of my sin. That man can absolve you of your sin no more than I can. You ain't got to tell me your troubles. We got somebody waiting on you right here this morning who's saying, come and tell me about it. I've got the answer. I just need you to ask. Maybe we should try some prayer and supplication. Maybe we should try the Spirit of God. Watch this one. Now, this is so deep. If you're not careful, you'll miss it. You got to go to Bible college. How about the Scripture? How about this old King James Bible? Somebody just went, oh, no, you ain't one of them. Oh, yes, I am. Thank God for the Word of God. I have no doubt that this is God's holy Word, holy and inspired of God, preserved of God, and that's where I find the help I need, and I don't need Dish Network to find it. Amen. Amen. I see people all over the country as I travel. They sit in church with their iPads. And I'm just old-fashioned. I'm not against an iPad. I got a cheaper version, but I ain't preaching from it. There's something about holding that book, turning them pages. God, I need some help. Lord, I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. Some of you that's been around a while, you remember that message I preached years ago, casting all your care upon Him, for He cared for you. In my opinion, one of the most powerful messages God ever gave me. You know where I got that message? It wasn't in a time where I was looking for a message. I was sitting at my kitchen table telling God, give me something or I'm done. I'm through with it. If I don't get help here, I'm resigning in about 5 hours. I was serious, man. I didn't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. And I'd read that scripture a million times. And for some reason, I'd highlighted the verses I had memorized. And Brother Freddie, I opened that little Scofield Bible, and it seemed like that old faded yellow highlighter had a neon light in it. That thing lit up like the strip at Las Vegas, and it went, wah, 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 wah. What are you doing crying? What are you doing moping? I still love you, and I know where you are, and I've got exactly what you need, and I'll get you through this, just like I got you through that. Thank God. Somebody ought to get them a verse and hang on. Get you a verse and say, God, you said. You promised. Have you ever failed to meet a promise of one of your children? And them look at you with them big old puppy dog eyes and say, but you promised. You finna make it happen. Because you love that baby. You think God loves you any less than you love your babies? Somebody will crawl up his altar this morning and say, God, you promised. You told me you wouldn't put more on me than I could bear. God, you said you wouldn't. God, you said you'd never leave me. You said you'd never forsake me. God, you promised. I promise you, if you'll make that move, God will be on you like white on rice.
won't you try it? Won't you try it? Well, I bought so-and-so's book. No, God wrote the book.
Amen.
I'm not against helps and study books, but God wrote the book. Amen. If them books don't point you to Scripture, they're not good books.
Amen.
Let me say that just felt good. If them books don't point you to Scripture, they're not good books.
Amen.
Men are from Mars, and is that right? Women are from Venus. That sounds like a stinking cartoon.
Amen.
Give me what thus saith the Lord. Point me to the one who invented marriage.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening? When have you got the Bible and said, we got to have some help?
Yeah.
Or have you got to the point where you read it and you go, yeah, right.
Come on,
say, preacher, you don't know where I am. I don't mean to sound arrogant. You don't know where I've been. And I've proved this book true, or God has to me, over and over and over and over and over again. I'll be honest with you, I come in about bone dry this morning. Just, you go without rest, it'll make you that way. And I'm feeling good about right now. I may pass out when I get home, but I feel pretty good right now. Pretty full. I've just stood here trying to convince you and convince myself how real He is, how good He is, and how much He cares about me. Whoo! Why don't you try some supplication and prayer? Why don't you lean on the Spirit of God and ask Him to touch you and move in your heart again? Why don't you find you some scriptures? Let me give you one more and I'm going to quit. Why don't you get you a song? Why don't you get you a song? Let me say it again. Why don't you get you a song? I don't know why. I didn't get to upstate New York. It's a 3-hour ride from the airport, and you got to cross a ferry over the water to get where we was going. I thought, man, I'm in no man's land. I got where I was going about 12:30. Wore out, man. I woke up Thursday morning. I was in the shower. I can't sing a lick, but God likes to hear me sing. And I think my mama does. I was in the shower, boy. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. You say, that's a kid's song. I'm one of His kids. Well, glory. I got up Friday morning. You go, oh God, He's going to sing again. I did. I got up Friday morning singing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I was feeling pretty beat up. I didn't want to leave more than I have ever not wanted to leave. I don't know if I said that right. I had a hard time getting on an airplane. Man, something about Katie moving out and my wife being home by herself. It just, Lord. I got up every morning. I got me a song. When I sing that song through the day, boy, when you start singing about the goodness of God, you know what the devil will do? I got you a song.
Yeah, right.
There's a tear in my beer, and I'm crying for you, dear. Boy, that feels good. Somebody load the gun. Somebody says, I ain't never heard that. That tells you how old I am. Amen. I remember me and Terry and Stacy riding around town with the windows down. If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. Dear God, I hope it ain't nothing like this place. I got bit by 5 skeeters before I could get off the airplane this morning. Get you a song. Some of you come in singing the blues this morning. But you can leave singing the praise. Naomi, why don't you come to this altar? Why don't you come just say, God, I'm empty. Lord, I don't know which way to go. don't know which way to turn. I need your help. Somebody come pray with these young'uns. Help them. Love on them. Brother Todd, y'all come get us a song. Let's stand our feet. Hey, Elimelech, you ain't died in Moab yet. There's still hope. Why don't you come find you a place? Crawl up and just get hold of God and say, Lord, I need your help this morning. My heart's as empty as it can be. I put on a smile and I put on my Sunday best, but deep down, God, you know I need your help. Oh, please mind God this morning. Listen, there's a bunch of folks moving to the altar, but while they're coming, I wonder if we could just bow our heads. Nobody looking around this morning. I wonder if there might be somebody here say, Preacher, I just need Jesus in my heart. I can't tell you for sure that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure I'm saved, Preacher. I need to get that settled. Before I can get any help from God, I realize I got to know Him. I don't want to die and go to hell. Preacher, would you pray for me? I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you. We don't drag people to an altar. I just want to pray for you. You say, Preacher, I'm not sure. I don't want to die and go to hell. Please remember me when you pray. Would you just slip up your hand? Ain't nobody looking around. Put it right back down. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Oh, is anybody else? God bless you, sir. Oh, you in the right place this morning to get exactly what you need. I'm not saying if you'll trust Jesus, all your problems are going away. But boy, you'll have somebody with some big shoulders to help you bear your load. Oh, why don't you trust Him today? Let's pray together, Father, as we come to you this morning. Whoo, Lord. This is the point where I got to back up and say, God, it's your turn. Lord, if these people are going to get any help today, God, you're going to have to do it. Because I'm nothing more than they are. Lord, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Lord, that's about the best thing I can say about myself. But Lord, these folks need some help, Lord, and I want them to get it today. Don't let them leave without you. You saw the hands. You know every heart. Please, Lord, have your way in this altar call. Father, we'll thank you. We'll give you glory for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.